Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me. And if you were able to listen to the broadcasts last week, I shared a message, Only Believe and Thou Shalt See the Glory of God. And I thought I would take just a little more time on today's broadcast to share some concluding thoughts, because we were really addressing the subject of unbelief that was not toward the unsaved. I mean, we all, you know, have unsaved loved ones or family members, friends that aren't serving the Lord, or perhaps they're backslid. Yet this passage of Scripture is dealing with those disciples who knew and loved Jesus. John, in that 11th chapter of his gospel, he shares in detail the experience of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And as he begins in those opening verses, he said, there were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus had died. Word was sent to Jesus, please come. Of course, when they sent that message, he was still alive but gravely ill. And Jesus remained after the message was received. He didn't do anything for 2 days. And so when he finally got, it took another 2 days to get there. It was 4 days because obviously the Lazarus, their brother, had passed away shortly after the messenger was sent. And it was then an impossible situation. And here we have two sisters who dearly loved Jesus. In fact, Mary, it specifically said, was that Mary who anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And it said Jesus loved them, and he cried at one point. It said the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Well, that's found in that chapter of John. And one, obviously, he was grieving because of the sorrow that they were experiencing, but also I think we have to say that he was weeping at their unbelief because he was questioning Martha. He said, Martha, who do you say that I am? And she said, well, I know you are the Christ. But he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, she didn't really answer. She said, yes, I know you're the Christ, the Son of God who came into the world. She had her theology right, but she was in mourning because the thing that she had hoped so much for, that Jesus would come and make her brother well, the worst tragedy had happened. He died. It was too late. It was over and done with. And so this, I think, is a subject that we all have to examine our own hearts. I mean, we may have experienced the death of a loved one, and we know until the Lord returns, death is the final enemy to be put underfoot. God knows there's a time that He wants to call His beloved children home to Him. But there's death, and yes, people can still be raised from the dead. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God wants to do a work in our hearts that we can begin to believe that the things that apparently are dead in our lives, relationships, visions, hopes, dreams, prayers that we have before the altar of God, it seems because of the Lord's inaction, there's not been an answering, they've just sort of died. And we sort of just, you know, we love God, we're going to carry on, but God wants us to know that there is hope and life and glory yet to be revealed. Beloved, God has so much for us, and we haven't, I don't know about you, but I haven't received everything that God has. Sometimes if adverse circumstances or sickness must bring us down to the place of death that Jesus may be glorified, as in the case of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, so be it. Sometimes it's a death to our expectations, our hopes, the things that we thought we understood. Mary had her theology down, so does Martha. But what happens when bad things happen? Sometimes the suffering we go through and the sorrows will bring a death of self-love and self-will, that the power of Christ may be manifested. Resurrection life, beloved, can only come when there has been death. That might sound rather extreme, but isn't that the truth? The disciples didn't really understand until they saw the resurrected Lord in their midst. And, you know, all that, the book of Job, all that Job went through, I mean, it really wasn't about Job. It was Satan throwing a taunt in the face of the Lord on his throne. The only reason Job serves you is because of his blessings. I say to you, beloved, many times the suffering, we want the power of his resurrection, but we'd rather not have the fellowship of his sufferings. Does that mean that Jesus hasn't done a complete work? Absolutely not. His work was totally complete. The new covenant was sealed in his blood. It was a done deal. But so often it is our unbelief that hinders the manifestation of his power. We know that in the scriptures, Matthew 13:58, it says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Why? And Jesus was alive. I mean, there were eyewitness reports of the miracles. And yet, well, because he was a local boy, right? I mean, can anything good come out of Nazareth? How often do we pray, "Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had answered"? Well, he is saying to us, "If thou wouldest believe." We need to, there's a scripture I shared in Isaiah. In Isaiah 54:2, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes." That following verse speaks of increase, of abundant increase. There's something we have to do. We have to realize that sometimes we limit God, and we're not expecting the abundance of the blessings that he wants to pour on us. Are there battles? Yes. Are there hindrances? Yes. Are there obstacles? Yes. Jesus, he experienced everything we could experience. The fellowship is of his sufferings. We don't add to the work of Jesus. There's nothing we can do in terms of pain, suffering, sorrows that will complete or add to the work of Jesus. But there is a fellowship of sufferings. Paul said, "I must decrease that he may increase." That is what we need to do. He's saying to us today, every one of us in our own life, only the Holy Spirit can show you. You know the things that God is touching your heart through this message, if you would believe. What seems impossible with God, all things are possible. That's what the angel Gabriel told Mary. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Same thing with Zechariah, the birth of John. Nothing shall be impossible. Verse 41 says, "They took away the stone." And so often, that stone represents the unbelief that often lies in the way of those dead in sin being raised, being brought into the kingdom, or in seeing the miracle-working power of God. Beloved, we have all kinds of stones. There's the fear of man, the love of the world, there's selfish indifference, there's morbid fatalism. Well, whatever will be, will be. God is going to do what he wants to do. He wants us to believe that we will see the glory of God. That's what he was telling Mary. That's what he was telling Martha. And what happens after obedience, roll away the stone, we see the glory of God. Verse 42, I'm going to read those verses again. "I knew," Jesus speaking, "that thou hearest me always." He was in prayer. "But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me, that I am who I have said that I am." And then he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He came forth bound hand and foot, and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Beloved, we need to be not only those who believe the stones of unbelief, unbelief can be rolled away, but that we can do our part in releasing Lazarus into a newness of life. I wish there could have been an account of what Lazarus experienced those 4 days in the grave, if he did, or if he was just sleeping that quiet sleep until he was raised. How is God's glory seen? Well, beloved, in giving life to the dead and liberty to the living. Lazarus was restored to home and hearts. They believed and saw his glory, and they were satisfied. Would you say you're satisfied in your spiritual walk with God? I'm not. Have you beheld the glory of his life-giving power in answer to your obedient trust, or are you still mourning hopelessly over the dead, forgetting him who said, "Believe and thou shalt see the glory of God"? In suffering, God gives comfort. No affliction for the present seemeth joyous, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Are you discouraged? He'll give cheer. Remember when he called the disciples, they were experienced fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. What did Peter? "We've toiled all night, taken nothing." But Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep." They did, and they saw a miraculous draught of fishes. Mark 9:23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Jeremiah 32:17, "Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. There's nothing too hard for thee." If he can make heaven and earth, beloved, you can surely trust him with your problems. Isaiah 26:4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, commit your fears to him, beloved. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." The final scripture I'm sharing with you, Psalm 89:34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, you see the time we've shared about this wonderful, miraculous work that Jesus did in raising Lazarus. Lord, I'm speaking right now and taking authority over unbelief in the hearts of your people. I rebuke the death of vision, of dreams, of things, of unanswered prayer. Lord, the unbelief that so doth easily beset us all. Lord, we thank you that you who gave us that germ of faith to believe, you're faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You will perfect that which concern us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking life right now, life through the power of the resurrected Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.